Welcome to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to listen to more of America This Week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.
Thanks to our sponsor, Villanova University. Villanova's Center for Church Management and Business Ethics offers educational programs for individuals in church leadership and administrative roles who are seeking to become better stewards of church resources by improving their business and management skills. Learn more at villanova.edu.
Now back to America This Week, live with Father Matt Malone and Kerry Weber.
This is Tim Reedy sitting in for Kerry Weber, and Father Matt Malone and I are talking with Eric LeCompte of Jubilee USA Network about issues of human rights, poverty, and financial reform. And we're going to bring Eric back in now. And I thought perhaps, Eric, you could help us. You've mentioned the Greek crisis. We mentioned at the beginning of the show, this is something that's in the news now. Can you let us know where things stand and what are some of your recommendations? You've been writing about this issue.
Sure. Well, you know, it certainly, you know, when we look at Greece, it seems like a very complicated situation. We know, you know, after the financial crisis that Greece defaulted on its loans. It was no longer able to pay its loans. And once that happened, because Greece was so connected with Europe, it had global impacts on not only economies in Europe, but also here in the United States. And was another unfortunate reality of how the global financial crisis impacted all of us.
And so Greece, you know, in that situation was basically like an individual homeowner after the financial crisis, just left with a mortgage they couldn't afford.
Right. And you know, and unlike an individual homeowner who has a sustainability issue, you know, there were a lot of other issues that we need to understand that also contributed to Greece's situation. There was also not only some, you know, unhealthy and strange loans, there was also corruption, there was tax evasion going on. So there were a lot of problems. In 2010, the European Union, the European Central Bank, and the International Monetary Fund worked with Greece in order to, you know, take on more loans so that it could keep on going forward. As a product of those loans, they also took on something that, you know, we call austerity policies, which means that they had to cut pension benefits, they had to cut education benefits, health care benefits, which actually had a terrifying toll on the people. And because of the policies put in place, it forced almost an entire third of the Greek population, a wealthy country, below the poverty line.
Right.
So a third of the country goes below the poverty line, and they're dealing with these terrible you know, financial repercussions from austerity policies. And you know, to this day, the unemployment rate for young people under the age of 30 years old is at 50%.
That is extraordinary.
It's unbelievable. And they are the third most indebted country in the world. And so, you know, we had long known from the work that we were doing at Jubilee USA that these kinds of policies, when they're done incorrectly, when a country's in trouble, make the problem worse instead of better.
Well, one of the places that you mentioned was the International Monetary Fund, known as IMF. And this is something that our readers and our audience, I'm sure, hear about on the news, they read about in the newspapers, but there might be a little mystery here about just exactly what is the IMF, what do they do, and why is their role so crucial here?
Well, you know, the International Monetary Fund is a lender that lends to countries all around the world when they're in financial crisis, but it also pushes forward global financial policy. And, you know, for decades we saw that global financial policy hurt people in the developing world as their health care programs were cut, their education programs were cut. And since that time, and even after the debt restructuring failed in Greece, what's called the Greek bailout, after that all failed, the International Monetary Fund has changed its tune and said that moving forward in these kinds of ways hurts the global economy. It doesn't help the global economy. And what's amazing about the International Monetary Fund is even though we believe after the White House it's the most powerful institution on planet Earth, a lot of people just don't know what it is or what it does. In fact, you know, here in Washington, D.C., where our offices are, You know, a few weeks ago, I stopped five people in front of the Capitol building, four of which worked for members of Congress. And three of them could not tell me what the International Monetary Fund was or what it does. But when I'm in Grenada, Caribbean island, mostly Catholic, working with the bishop there, where 100,000 people live, 40% live in poverty, every 12-year-old on that island can tell you what the International Monetary Fund.
Yeah.
Every 12-year-old in Zambia can tell you what that fund is. But even though its policies here in the United States even impact us as much as the very oxygen we breathe, many of us are unaware of what it does and its policy. And that's, of course, part of the problem when we look at the global financial system, that these very powerful institutions are making decisions about our lives, let alone the lives of the poorest people in the world, and often they're not held to account for what decisions they make and how they make it. And now we're looking at the Greek situation.
Now, speaking of the Greek situation, you raise an interesting historical parallel and some irony here. You look back at Germany in the 1950s. Their debt was forgiven, and it had a huge impact on their economy, correct?
That's right. It was not only forgiven, but they extended the loans, which is also what the Greek government has been asking. So they had a longer time to pay them off. They were given breathing space, and they still completely paid off those loans, but they had more time to do it. And if that is done for Greece, it can make a very, very significant impact. Of course, it's ironic right now that the German government has not been in favor of offering the same relief that in 1953, when Germany received that relief, it led to what Germans commonly call the Wirtschaft Wunder, or the economic miracle, which ultimately is the reason why Germany is one of the world's most powerful economies, because they had debt relief in 1953 and were able to change the terms of their loans. And now Greece is in a similar situation, but the Germans are saying, yeah, it worked for us, but we don't want it to work for you.
Well, it's important maybe to think more about Greece and where they are today. What do you think the next steps are? We're kind of in a holding pattern right now.
We are in a holding pattern. I mean, I think it's really exciting that there is some breathing space. There's going to be 4 months to, you know, look at negotiations. And I think the reality of it is because the major problems were never dealt with in 2010, really all they did, and all economists agree at this point, including groups like the International Monetary Fund, is all that happened in 2010 is they kicked the can down the road. And now they're dealing with the problems more head on. You know, I think it remains to be seen, you know, how things are going to move forward. But from our experience, you know, we believe the next steps have to be, you know, pulling back some of these harmful austerity policies that are keeping people out of work in Germany, that are keeping a third of the population under poverty. We believe that's a first step. We also believe it's important to really look at things like the kind of debt relief that benefited Germany in 1953 and look at how those policies can move forward. I think on the Greek side, and this is certainly where I agree with several of the concerns of other European governments, is that there are issues that still need to happen that the Greek government needs to do to get its own house in order.
Sure.
Corruption is still a significant problem there. It seems the new government is trying to tackle that. But also tax evasion has been a huge problem.
That's actually where I wanted to go in our remaining minutes. I know that that's one of the things that you work on. And by the way, I think it's important to point out that it's not just poor and developing countries that owe money, right? The United States is a huge debtor nation. The United Kingdom is still paying back loans that the United States gave them during the Second World War. So everybody has some degree of problem here. And the question is, you know, is the problem manageable for each country, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So I wanted to just talk in our final minutes about tax justice, because I know that's also one of the concerns of your organization, Jubilee USA, and this notion of trying to make sure that revenue that is generated in the developing world in some way comes back to the developing world. And I wonder if you could talk a bit about that.
Right. That's exactly right. So we know debt is a part of the problem, countries being in debt. And when that debt becomes unsustainable or it's unfair, trying to figure out how to work that out. But we have to understand that a major part of the reason why countries have problems not only paying back their debts, but why they continue to take out loans under terms that are not fair, which, you know, exacerbates, raises the amount of debt, is they don't have revenue to deal with the problem. You know, and we see that so clearly when we say that, you know, the developing world and institutions, for every $10 that they give to the poorest countries in the world, you know, over $100 is leaving in tax evasion and corruption. So it's a huge issue. And so that's why over the last few years, you know, we've worked very specifically with, the G7 and the G20 to move forward policies. We've gotten legislation that's passed in Congress, which starts to create a higher degree of accountability and transparency for when corporations are working abroad, so that we can start to be able to support developing countries collect a higher level of tax revenue. And, you know, that's a problem that's not only endemic to the developing world, it's a problem we have here in the United States.
Sure.
When, you know, corporations, which many of us love and trust, like General Electric, they don't pay a dollar in taxes, but they get a $2 billion tax rebate, and they're one of the most profitable corporations in the world.
Right.
They're not paying taxes here. They're not paying taxes everywhere. And you know, when that happens, we realize that it's a fundamental issue where we're not all sharing the burden together.
And
we're only going to be able to build an economy that serves and protects all of us if we deal with both the debt side and the revenue
sure.
side.
Sure. And how do you make sure, as you close the loopholes that allow corporations to avoid paying taxes in the developing world, how do you ensure that they stay in the developing world? Because I imagine that one of these loopholes, for good or ill, one of the things that they do is they lower the cost of doing business for that corporation in that place. And so they, you know, how do you make sure that the corporation remains in the developing world and pays its fair share there?
Right, and that's a really important question, because there are both, you know, short-term responses to that as well as more long-term responses. The reality of it is that, you know, many of these corporations, you know, like the corporations, the oil, coal, natural gas, what are called the extractive industry corporations, they want to be doing business there. And so they're going to stay there, you know, no matter what, under those kinds of specific parameters. And part of, you know, the problem there, it's not only that they're not paying taxes, but because there isn't transparency, what they are paying workers is often inadequate, and often, you know, we can't see what kind of bribes or what kind of corrupt money is changing hands. And so, you know, Dodd-Frank, other legislation we've passed has sought to be able to change that. So we will see, I think, more revenue over the next, you know, few years being raised in the developing world because of the global policies that we're winning. But the other side of it is, will some corporations move to one place or another? You know, it's kind of a race to the bottom. Where can I go where the lowest tax rate is to put my post office box so I'm not paying as many taxes? And that's part of what we have to understand is it's going to take us years to address, and that's being able to have more equality throughout the world in terms of tax codes and making it very difficult for corporations to be good and actually supporting them to be corrupt.
Well, Eric, we just have a couple more minutes left, but we want to give you a chance to give us your website. And also, maybe you can speak to how somebody who's listening today, the average Catholic, can learn more and also, you know, be a part of fighting this problem.
Well, you know, as I said, these issues affect all of us. But I certainly, as Catholics, you know, we really have a very special need to want to address these issues because, you know, we want to impact the lives of the most vulnerable people in the world. And beyond what we do just in a charitable sense, but actually to change their lives for the long term. Listeners can learn a lot more if they visit our website, which is JubileeUSA.org. When they go to JubileeUSA.org, they'll be able to see a lot of our efforts. And, you know, I think for Catholics, it's important to know that our church leaders have remained steadfast in their support, not only for our work to end extreme poverty, but, you know, when we met with Cardinal Parolin, the Vatican Secretary of
Sure.
State, in May, one of the real accolades he gave us is that we are an interfaith movement that brings Christians, Jews, and Muslims together. And it's in that moment where we can celebrate a common goal that interfaith characteristic of our work is incumbent upon all of us to participate in and celebrate.
So, well, amen to that. And the website is
JubileeUSA.org.
Correct. So please check it out. Eric, thank you for being on the show. Thank you for your witness and that of your colleagues. We really appreciate
it. Father, Matt, and Tim, it was a real pleasure. Thank you.
Good luck to you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on SiriusXM 129. If you want to hear the full show every week, subscribe to SiriusXM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129.